And we're back from the stand. Sherry, I was just talking about the energy and excitement of AirVenture, and there's no one that captures that more than our next guest, and that is the one, the only, Sean D. Tucker. Welcome back.
Good morning, Mr. Steve, and good morning, EAA. I just got done practicing, so I'm a little dizzy. So be nice to me today, okay?
Well, this should
I pulled
be
a little
fun.
Bit too much G this morning.
Okay.
So when you have G's for breakfast, it fires you up.
Well, that's good. Speaking of G's for breakfast, you definitely are one of the premier air show performers, and you make it look so easy, but it's not. It's hard work.
Well, you know, thanks for the compliment, but, you know, the world's best are here. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we have future world champions. Yes. We got four-time national champions. The best of the best are here at EAA. And it's a passion of all of ours to have the work ethic and the discipline to make it look easy. None of this is easy. It takes a lifetime to learn how to do this stuff. You have to have great mentors. You have to have big reverence because it's dangerous. It's serious business. And everybody playing in this arena, the greatest arena in the world called Oshkosh, is that way. And I'm honored to be flying with all of them. But it is fun. And what I always have to remember is that it's supposed to just be fun. If you fly with joy, you fly with passion, you leave your ego on the ground, and you do it for the right reasons, is to share that magic with the audience, to thrill them, to inspire them. That's our job. We're not here to traumatize.
Good.
We're here to share the magic of flight. So I'm glad to be here, baby.
You know, and you echo something that that Air Boss Wayne Boggs always says in the air show briefing, is that people are fascinated just by the fact that airplanes fly. So if a maneuver doesn't quite work out right, it's okay. They probably don't know. You're the only one who knows for sure.
It's always okay. And nothing works out perfectly right. I've had one perfect flight in my entire career. And I remember when it happened. And I thought I reached the end of the internet. I said, okay, I'm perfect. One perfect flight. And it was about 5 years ago. And I thought the next day I'm going to get in there and everything's going to work perfectly because I got it figured out. Wrong. And I'm still searching for that next one. And I think that's what the quest is. But, you know, flying in front of this audience, in front of this family, because EAA is the most significant organization in aviation in the world, is humbling, and it's just a magnificent privilege for us as performers. And we always want to fly our level best and have an A game. There's always conditions that aren't great, and that's what makes it fun. This stuff isn't easy, but we're trying to make it look easy. And if you have that mindset and you have that humility, it is easy because you're doing it for the right reasons. And when the wings become your arms and you're part of the aircraft and you're doing it for the right reasons, it's all intuitive. And it's just joyful. It's a joyful experience.
Great. We're talking with Sean D. Tucker. You'll be flying in the show today.
Today, baby.
All right.
Briefing's at 11:30.
Yeah, we'll be done by then, I promise. And is there, not to slight anyone or put you too much on the spot, but I'm going to anyway, who is it that flies that makes you stop and look?
Every single one of them. I love watching Rob. I love watching the Force with Bill all those guys who put four magnificent solo performers put together and make it look the symmetry. Kevin Coleman, one of the new guys coming up. Lucas here. We got a new kid.
Mm-hmm.
You mark my words, this 21-year-old kid, we got a new kid this year. This is his first debut at Oshkosh. Paid $12,500 for his pits. Him and his dad rebuilt it. It was a wreck. Mm-hmm. And he flies in advanced category in a pits S1S. His name is Sammy Mason. Flew all the way out here from California. His grandfather, Sammy Mason, who was a very famous airshow pilot in the 50s and 60s, got inducted in the International Aerobatic Club Hall of Fame. So everybody thrills me. Aeroshell, how could you not love those guys? The best of the best. I mean, and so there's so much here. Gulian, I mean, I'm going to make everybody mad if I don't mention them. I love them all. I love being a part of this family because we truly are. And this is kind of our reunion as well, because to be here, you've been chosen. We're at the house that Paul built, and I remember him chewing me out many, many times. He says, "Don't do nothing dumb." So I remember all that, and so like, everybody, I just love it.
Are you working with any up and coming either performers or competition pilots?
Well, I try to mentor as much as I can, because I've been given a great gift by having friends like Leo Lounslager, Charlie Hillard, the French Connection. I mean, these magnificent people who took the time for me. And so we're always trying to mentor. We're always trying to not only inspire, but to open the door for them so they have an opportunity. You know, without Bob Hoover in my life, I probably wouldn't be alive today. And he's still one of my dearest friends. And this is the only, so far, hopefully he watches me this week, because he hasn't, for the next year will be my 40th year performing as a performer. 40th year. And with starts and stop, but mm-hmm. like 26 years full time. And Bob has never failed to watch me fly. And okay. I need to watch it. I need that. I need a seal of approval.
Good. So Bob was a, you mentioned some of the guys who were inspirations to you, and many famous names there. And, you know, you're working with the up and coming performers, but you're also mentoring young people through your role with the Young Eagles program.
Oh, that's just, you know, that job. Can you believe I get a job like that to, number one, be a public voice, but also represent, and I consider it a huge privilege to represent all these magnificent volunteers who really give their time, their money, their airplanes, and their passion. They're the hard workers. They're the troops. They're the Air Force. And we got, you know, 8,000 pilots a year, give 50,000 kids a ride, and we're going on 2 million. Mm-hmm. I can't wait till we hit that milestone, because I think it's going to be big national news, because this is the largest, greatest outreach for youth in America to touch aviation anywhere. And we own this, mm-hmm. and we're going to make it better. And I can't wait to what happens after the 2 million, because new things are going to happen. And I feel so privileged that I have this opportunity, and I'm not screwing it up.
Good. What can you tell us? What's in the works in the future, or is it still a secret?
It's still a secret.
Okay.
Let's get that 2 million.
Okay. All right. Sounds like a plan. A little bit with the Young Eagles program. There has been some changes to the program since the very first days. I mean, it started in 1991, and it was just that ride experience. And, mm-hmm. you know, people wanted more, and there is more now. So,
oh, my gosh. You know, it's when I came in early this week, I get in Wednesday, and the kids at the Air Academy, mm-hmm. it's magnificent. I mean, they're having a blast. They're flying, and they're touching it, and they're tasting it, and they're feeling it. They're becoming pilots. The scholarship opportunities with Sporty coming along, and now it's real-time education. You know, and they got skin in the game now. You got to have skin in the game. You do 4 courses online with Sporties, free. It's free. Mm-hmm. You know, it's $200 value. We send you a check for a flight lesson. I mean, and so there's just so many opportunities now. And I think because of we're proven to the world that this is the number one program, the world's going to invest in our next programs. And I think it's going to be even bigger and better. I mean, just seeing all the colleges here with their aviation programs. And by the way, these are not just small aviation programs. These are significant. And we're making aviators. They need aviators. We're going to get them aviators.
You're echoing what our last guest, Sherry, was saying, is that there is
definitely
a demand.
Look at Sherry. Mm-hmm. She's a Boeing rep. She's a senior person at Boeing. And look how passionate she is about the future of aviation, because she loves it. And fortunately, I get to hang out with some of the Boeing folks. They're all that passionate. From the engineers, I mean, they care about what's going on. They care about the product. They care about the future. I mean, they care about our future, and that's our kids.
Right. Very cool. And in California, you have your own. I mean, aside from Young Eagles, you also have your own program.
I sure do. What a challenge. That's the hardest thing. You know, somebody told me a long time ago, it doesn't matter how rich you are, how famous you are, what you've accomplished, but you're not relevant unless you're giving back. And I dig my community. We're giving back. We got a great outreach for at-risk kids, and also kids who just don't have any money, with loving parents. And we have a Cessna 150, and we're teaching them to fly. It's really fun. I really enjoy it.
How did that come to be developed?
Because my friends at EAA. Because my friends at EAA. Everything good that's ever happened in my life. Everything good that's ever happened in my life is because of my friends at EAA. I don't have many friends who aren't EAA members.
Well, that's good. So how do young people get involved with that program?
With my program?
With your program.
Well, first of all, when we first went live, it was a big media event, because I'm working with some kids that are on probation, kids that have gotten in trouble, and everybody was going, well, does my son have to get arrested so they can fly with you? You know, so we settled that down a little bit. So it's been a learning process. My son's involved. I got a great board now. I got a full-time flight instructor who works one-on-one with the kids. And for me, it's maybe you get one in 200, but you touch every single one of them. One in 200 and one of fly. So to me, flight's just the metaphor about giving people hope. Flight's just the metaphor about inspiring them. Flight's just the metaphor that they face fears and push their boundaries. All the kids have gone through my program so much, and we're just a small deal. Haven't gotten in trouble again. All graduated from high school. Half of them are going to college, and they just got self-esteem. This is what flying does. This is what, when a community involves, like this community does, we make the world a better place. I dig it. It's fun.
And you echo many of the same attributes of the overall Young Eagles program.
It's magnificent.
Yeah.
I don't even want to talk about it. I want to brainstorm with all the Young Eagles coordinators and the volunteers and see what they want. And let's make it happen because it's magnificent. We are going places with this program. We are going places.
So, and, you know, a few years ago, EIA did a survey of pilots, and it was, what, about 18 to 20% of today's current pilots were in a Young Eagles program somewhere. And that number is going to continue going
up. And I travel around this country at every venue, and we make it a media event to promote Young Eagles. But what I see, it's not about me. We make the kids write an essay. The Airshow community picks out the essay that they want. And that kid becomes a superstar for a day from all walks of life. It doesn't matter. I've had the Blues fly in formation with me for a Young Eagle that City of Chicago picked out for this kid who decided he wanted to not be in the gangs. A great kid. And there's the Blue Angels 5 and 6 right behind him. I watch these kids and the media just want to hear their story, and it's about flight, and it's about everything that's what we believe in. Right. And this kid is a superstar for a day, and they walk away changed. And so the point I'm trying to make, even if you don't take up flying, you've pushed your boundaries, and you're changed because you had that experience. So each flight you give that we give is a huge success story on many, many levels.
Good. And will you have time this week to meet with some of those volunteers and kind of hear them out?
Oh, man, we're going to have I think we're having dinner tomorrow night. All of us together are having dinner tomorrow night. It's going to be a blast. And I'm going to go to the PHP tent tomorrow afternoon to give out some awards. I love these folks. You just got to go to the Pathways Pavilion, and they're there. They want to help because they love what's righteous about America. And that's our youth. Mm-hmm. That's our freedoms. And they're proud to be EA members, and they want to share that magic, and they want to give back. They're relevant, baby.
That's right. And I know many, many Young Eagle pilots have said the same thing. It's like, don't tell anybody, but I'm getting more out of this than I think the kids are, because the smiles are worth it.
Well, it's not even the smiles. It just makes you feel like, you know, God put us on this earth for a reason. That's to make the world a better place. And every time you can allow somebody to smile or give them hope, you're making the world a better place. And that's what we do at EAA. EAA. This is what's righteous about this organization.
Good. If someone is a pilot, wants to be involved in the program, how do they get involved?
YoungEagles.org, baby. Call your chapter. You got to be a member. It's $40 a year, isn't it, to be a member of the EAA? Golly, it's expensive. 400 pennies, 40 dimes.
There you go. And young people, same address?
Yeah. And you know what's so great about young people? It's free.
Yeah.
It's free. It's so awesome.
Good. You, as we're kind of talking about pushing boundaries, you've sort of pushed some of your boundaries by taking up some mountain climbing in the past few years.
Oh, golly. Last week, and I love it. It's just a great job. But last week, I was in the Alps with my wife, Griswold family vacation, climbing, you know, 14,000-foot peak, a training hike. We're on some glaciers in a crevasse, and we're 4 hours into it, and my wife falls into a crevasse. The scariest thing I've ever seen, to see my wife, who I love dearly, 38 years old, have the mountain swallow her up. And so I'm going to keep taking up mountain climbing. I love it, but my wife's retired. She's going to hike. We got her out of the crevasse. Uh-huh. But, man, it was humbling. Pretty scary stuff. Sure. But I do mountain climbing, and I started that because I'm not very good at it, and I really like to push my own personal boundaries, number one, so I don't ever leave my press clippings, and I want to learn. You know, I want to get good at it, and it's hard. Mountain climbing is very, very, I've climbed some big mountains now, and none of them are easy. And so I like things that are hard, and because it challenges you, and for me, it enables me to stay in a higher level of fitness. So when I go to work out here, it's not so hard because I'm physically fit.
Right. Good. How? What's the tallest mountain you've
climbed?
That
I've climbed so far is Mount Aconcagua.
Okay.
And it's either over 23,000 or at 23,000 feet, and that was very, very hard. And I almost failed 2 hours from the top. I collapsed and threw up in the snow, and I looked at the guy and I said, "I'm fine. Just give me a couple minutes. Well, yeah, come on, give me a break." And he did, and he believed in me,
yeah.
And he allowed me to keep going. And it was, but it's hard stuff, and I like it. Hard is okay.
It's okay. Yeah. Any plans in the future for any other expeditions?
Oh yeah, I'm gonna hopefully in September. There's a short window that I might be able to go back to Europe, and I really want to climb the Matterhorn because that's very hard. Mm-hmm. It's not that high, but it's very hard. It's very physically challenging. And then I'm hoping to go to Antarctica this winter and climb in Vincent Massif. So you know, I've done three I think of the seven summits. I've climbed Kilimanjaro. A few years ago, twice I did that. Then I climbed Aconcagua, and then I did Elbrus in Russia last summer. And if I do Vincent Massif, then I only have Everest, Denali, and the one in New Guinea.
Oh,
you got to dream, man.
That's
I'm
right.
not saying it's going to happen, but if you don't dream, it doesn't happen.
Exactly.
So you
got to
dream.
Exactly.
You know?
And just before we wrap up, you know, you talked about mentoring airshow mm-hmm. performers and competitors. Any thoughts or tips that you have for just us regular average pilots who just enjoy going point A to point B, flying Young Eagles?
I think about that a lot is because I get to fly a lot of different airplanes now. Don't leave any stone unturned not to do it right. Always follow your process. Don't believe in your press clippings. Always be willing to go around. I love go arounds. I tell my team, always be willing to go around. And just don't push it. You know, it's nothing's that important. And even at the biggest venue in the world, the greatest arena, if I'm not right, I'm not going. And I have to have the humility and the respect. And all of us as aviators need to have that respect so we can do it again tomorrow.
Great. Sean D. Tucker, our guest this morning. That's going to wrap up our show. Sean, thank you for spending a few minutes with us.
I'm enjoying myself here at EAA, mister.
All righty. Thank you very much. And From the Stand is made possible by the Commemorative Air Force. The mission of the CAF is education so that future generations will value and support the contributions of military aviation in assuring our nation's freedoms. And if you'd like to find out more, they're on the field here on Boeing Plaza, on Facebook, or at commemorativeairforce.org. And we thank them for their support of this program. Tomorrow morning, we'll talk with NOAA Administrator Catherine Sullivan. Dick Rutan drops in. Tim Jarvis with JetLink's Jet Waco will be here, and Pee-wee Martin, who is a 93-year-old D-Day veteran. He parachuted into D-Day on the first wave, and he also did this, the reenactment of that jump.
He's going to be here?
He's going to be here
awesome.
Tomorrow.
What time?
10:45
I'm
tomorrow
be
morning.
Here.
All right. We'll see you then. We'll look forward to talking with them tomorrow, and this is From the Stand. I'm Steve Buss, and this is EAA Radio.